This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Hey, good morning. Welcome, ESPN 1000. So we wake up and now we hear the players don't even want to negotiate. You know what? Somebody needs to step up. I don't care who it is. It can be an owner of a team. It can be a star player. It can be a rookie. It can be a manager. It can be whoever the hell it is in the game. But somebody needs to step up and handle it like this. I'm tired of hearing both sides can't get a deal done. I'm tired of hearing all the rhetoric. Here's what we in the game, and I'm speaking if I was a big-time player, we need to come together. Let's figure this out. There's a lot of smart people in that room. We need to put all our agendas to the side. We're in a global pandemic. We are part of the fabric of Americana. Major League Baseball has always been the national pastime. We need to think of the 35 million people that are either out of work, have taken pay cuts, that are existing off of unemployment, stimulus checks, don't know where their next meal is, can't have any kind of disposable income, and thinks, well, if I could watch a baseball game, that'd be really cool. Oh, sorry, we're not playing because both sides are greedy and both sides can't figure it out. The owners aren't the bad guys. The players aren't the bad guys. The industry as a whole has got to be fixed. You've got to work together. And I'm tired of people like Max Scherzer, who've made $100 and whatever million already, is in the midst of a $210 million contract, coming off with this high and mighty, we're not negotiating. And then hearing owners go, we can't pay it, can't do it. I'm not expecting you to open your books because you've never done it. Do I think you should? Yes. Do I think you will? No. But just get some smart people without agendas in the room and just shut the F up and get a deal done. But somebody needs to be the face of this. And it should be someone of substance. Mike Trout would be great. Awesome. Mookie Betts, some star player. Step up and call everybody out on both sides. There are going to be zero fans at baseball games. That's a fact. Which means franchises are getting destroyed. And the value of your franchise is also getting destroyed. You're no longer the Cubs, a $3.2 billion entity. We think 5 years from now it will restore itself, but we don't know what the world is going to be like. Companies are going to figure out different ways to do things and not spend as much money. And so I've got to listen to owners try and spin it their way. And then listen to players. We already made a deal. I don't care what that clause in the contract says. We're not negotiating with them. Like, Max Scherzer needs to shut the F up. He does. Because you don't speak for the 65% who make less than $1 million. You don't. And whether you ever throw one more pitch, you never have to worry about finances. Ever. So for you to speak on it in this arrogant tone is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And then to hear that Trevor Bauer came out. Danny, do you have his tweet right in front of you there, buddy? Handy. Trevor Bauer came out and he's all over Scott Boras. And look, Scott's really good at what he does. He is. He is a tremendous agent at getting money for his players.
Here's what Trevor Bowers tweeted yesterday. Hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent meddling in MLBPA affairs. If true, and at this point these are only rumors, I have one thing to say. Scott Boras, rep your clients however you want to, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business.
Yeah, this whole thing is just a train wreck.
Cap, we should also read for people that might not know
Max
what
Scherzer?
Mac, you're...
Yes, I've got please. It right here. Okay, this is Max Scherzer's tweet. And Danny, we love to play the game that you invented. How much Max Scherzer has made in his career? It's like 100 plus million. I know he's in the throes of a 7-year, $210 million deal. And that has maybe a couple years left to run on it. After which he'll probably ride off into the sunset, and God bless him. He's a great, great pitcher. Great. But he needs to just stop talking. Got 100,000 people. That was the benchmark we passed over the weekend. 100,000 Americans dead from COVID. Millions, tens of millions unemployed. Small businesses around the United States basically wiped from the face of the earth, never to return. I would love for Max Scherzer to have walked up to the mic and went, here's the deal. I've made a ton of money and I'm very blessed. We have to think about all the people that are hurting and how great baseball is for all of them. So stop the rhetoric and let's get this fixed. But here's what he wrote. After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. Look, Max Scherzer's made, I don't know if Danny's looking it up, a lot of money.
Do you have a guess? Do you have an official guess?
My official guess will be, he's in his mid-30s. I'm going to say $162 million.
Give me $235, Bob.
You both are high. So from 06,
oh, wow.
That's his first year with the Angels, till right now, 2019, he's earned $109 million.
That's it?
That is all he's earned to this point. When all is said and done after this latest contract, he'll have earned $244 million.
Okay.
But at this point, $109.
Right, it's all guaranteed that he's got coming. $244 million and sounds so out of touch.
What about that offends you so much, Cap? Like, there's nothing there that is uber offensive. And I understand he's made a lot of money. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But the owner's first proposal to the players was incredibly insulting. There are some players that would be taking 75 to 80% pay cuts. There are some players, the majority will be taking at least 55% pay cuts. Now, we're all aware of what's going on in the world. People are taking pay cuts. People are getting furloughed. People are losing their jobs. But in no point do you read about a company, whether it be Amazon, United, whoever the company may be, going to employees and saying, we need you to do your job for 25% of your salary. And no other walk of life. And I know they make a lot of money, but they make a lot of money because they have extreme talents, extreme gifts, and what they do brings in extreme amount of money for the owners. It is unfair, the first proposal. It's like going to buy a house. Let's say you're going to buy a $1 million house. The house is listed for $1 million, and you offer $200,000. You insult the owner of the house so much they don't even counter. That's what Max Scherzer is saying. All he is saying is, your offer to us, we agreed on prorated. You want us to play 82 games, give us 50% of our salary. We agree to that. 50% pay cut. That's more than anybody else is taking. Theo Epstein just took a 35% pay cut.
Actually, not a pay cut. They're getting paid their same salary in that scenario based on the number of games.
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. It's half the money. The point is, Max Scherzer is just saying in this, you've insulted us with your first offer. We're not even going to counter you. Give us something that's not insulting to us. It's got nothing to do in it. And I understand what you're saying about how people are hungry and people are lining up at food banks to eat and feed their families. And baseball would be a great recess from the realities of life. But it's unfair to Max Scherzer and the players to put the terrible things that are going on in the world on their shoulders. I'm sorry, Cap. Baseball comes back. It's going to give us some entertainment. It's going to take our minds off the real world issues. But it's not feeding families. It's not. You're acting as if he needs to come back for the sanctity and the well-being of America. That's not the case. It's not going to solve any problems if they play baseball. It's just going to be entertainment.
And if they don't come back for financial reasons, and I love the game. It's my favorite sport. It runs through my veins. I can watch the Blue Jays and the Mariners and be a happy clam. I can watch the Cubs and the White Sox and go, this is amazing. Love all sports. I do. That's who I am. I love baseball. My kids love baseball. And I will tell you, if they don't come back because of financial reasons, F them. All of them. I'm just telling you.
I'm glad we got that on the record. F them. All of them.
Like, what the harm they would do is to themselves. The players would lose a fortune.
They would kill the sport.
Yes, the players would lose a fortune, the owners would lose a fortune, and they would kill the sport. They
right,
would
so
absolutely
I would
kill
have
the sport.
For Max Scherzer to come
but
out.
But he didn't say anything. Like, that's not an offense. What he said is just matter of fact. Nothing he said was offensive. Nothing he said was to the point. Like, you came in this
got
morning.
Got a lot of people that he kicked off.
So pissed off at him.
Right.
I just want you to verbalize the reason that it's so offensive to you.
Because he sounds out of touch with what the hell's going on in our world right now. Yeah, Max, I get it. Hey, man, you're offended by it. We're not going to negotiate.
We're not even putting anything
out there.
How's
that $109 million sitting in your bank account?
But aren't all sports out of touch with what we're going on in the world? I mean, you hear NFL owners saying, oh, we're going to play. We're going to start on time. In the meantime, I don't know if my kids are going to school in the fall. So aren't they out of touch?
No, because...
Isn't it out of touch that Governor Pritzker said yesterday that he can't wait to see baseball played in Chicago in July, but yet we don't know if we'll be free to take public transit in July? I mean, that's out of touch. There's a lot of things in sports that are out of touch in the world. Max Scherzer's comment simply was, we were offended by their offer. The offer was insulting to us. Unless they make a better offer, we don't know what to tell you. We're not playing for 80% of our salaries.
And I understand that. I'm after both sides. Let me be clear. I'm not taking sides on either one. They both sound out of touch with reality. They do. So... there's no hate on one side more than the other. They all need to shut their mouths and figure it out. Or goodbye to your sport. People will be more offended than ever before. All right, 312-332-3776. Quick timeout. Be right back.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Can't pick sides on this one. I can't. Some of you might think you're all about the players. God bless you. You're right. Some of you may be all about the owners. God bless you. You're right. I'm sitting right in the freaking middle. This is on both sides. Max Scherzer sounds as out of touch as anybody. Trevor Bauer firing on Scott Boras. And then we've got the owners saying, well, we're going to lose 70% of our revenue, so we can't pay basically anything. No, you can pay more. You've had a lot of good days. There's no tag days for 99.9% of the owners. Maybe the Marlins and Royals and Rays have some issues. Everyone else has got plenty of money in reserve. Plenty of money. Figure it out. This has nothing to do with taking sides. The owners aren't the bad guys. The players as a whole aren't the bad guys. Just telling you. Somebody needs to walk up, say, you know what? I am doing something today on Zoom. I am Max Scherzer, or I am Mike Trout, pick a player, some huge name, and I want to speak. And here's the link. All media is invited. And just freaking rip both sides to get their heads out of their you-know-what and figure it out. There will be zero fans. Zero. You know how many tens of millions of dollars that is? And would I love to see them open their books? I would. It's never going to happen. They're not going to do it. Because don't forget, the CBA is up after 21. If they show them their books now, that'll all be used against them. That's the owner's perspective. When they have to negotiate a new collective bargaining agreement. So they're not going to do it. They're just not. Should they? I wish. There's been so much mistrust from both sides. Both sides. You got Scott Boras, who comes up with, well, I've got this offer. So you got owners bidding against themselves because they don't know if they can trust what they're being told by the agent. He's doing his job. He's getting his clients the most money. I completely get it. Completely get it. And then you got owners who sticking money in different pockets because they don't have to classify it as baseball revenue and players don't get a piece of it. And they're like, hold on a minute. And I saw it when I worked for the Tribune Company where take these tiny little TV and radio deals from the stations they also owned. And then all that money goes in their pocket selling advertising because it's not listed as baseball revenue. Both sides suck. That's for me. Felix in Humboldt Park. Hey, Felix, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Cappy?
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing good, doing good. Listen, this whole thing about his whole owners and players, man, I mean, listen, I work the front lines. I've been working, and I had to take a pay cut. Now, I'm not choosing sides here. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm a true baseball fan who, if I have to sit here and watch the Marlins and Kansas City play 82 games for the rest of the year, I'll do it. But these guys, I just want baseball back, man. I mean, we're hearing about basketball making terms. We're talking about hockey making terms. We're talking about football already. We're talking about they're going to start opening up camp pretty soon. And here is baseball, and they're still stuck in limbo and not having any progress in any of the talks, man. Like I said, I'm not choosing sides. I get it, man. I took a pay cut, and I'm not a millionaire, man, but I made sacrifices for my family. Let's make sacrifices for the love of baseball, and let's get baseball started, man.
Yeah, and I just want the narrative to stop. Just figure it out. But you're not here. Have you heard one time? And appreciate your call, Felix. Thanks, man. Stay safe and healthy, kid. Have you heard one time has any owner come out and said, whatever this takes, we got to figure this out. There are a lot of people hurting, and we need to be there for baseball. And, by the way, if their numbers are accurate, 65% of the league makes less than $1 million, many making the league minimum. They're not set for life. They're not. And those people have to be able to feed their families. So baseball, Danny, is feeding a ton of families. All of these guys who are, they're not the Max Scherzers of the world. It's got to get fixed. But not one person has had the cojones on either side. I haven't heard one owner, I haven't heard one player come out and go, we got to get this done for the fans of this great game. It's a great opportunity for our sport. Has one person had the you-know-whats to say that? Not one. It's sad. Sad. So again, this is on both sides. You can take whatever side you want. I'm not picking a side. I'm staying right down the middle. There will be no fans. We don't know when fans are going back. I know if I gave Danny Zetterman, they said, hey, there's games July 4th. Danny, here's 4 tickets. Take your family. He's not going. And a lot of people out there are not going. And they're not going to be tickets. So bad, 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 bad on both sides. Jimbo's in Chicago Heights. Hey, Jimbo, what's up, man?
Not much. Boris, he's concerned about all the money he's losing that way.
Yeah, listening to Trevor Bauer, he certainly seems like he feels Scott has his own agenda and that's all he cares about.
And also, I don't hear of any ball players donating money to the people that need the money, the people that are starving. You know, I see football players and basketball players, they're all donating out of their own pocket. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just amazing that I hear, and again, I know and appreciate your call, Jimbo. The basketball players, LeBron James spoke for them. They had this Zoom call with a bunch of the top stars. And LeBron James came out and said, we've got to get back on the court. Whatever it takes, we've got to get back on the court. People want to watch NBA basketball. They need NBA basketball. Have you heard one baseball player say that? Not one. Zero. Disgusting. And you would think all these smart guys in a room, one guy would go, you know what? Is anyone talking about the fans? I'm going to. But nope. Nope. It's all about we can't pay you. We want more money. We agreed to a deal in March, even though that deal includes a clause that says if there's no fans, we'll open it up and renegotiate. And then the owners give you this insulting offer where you have an 80% pay cut. How about putting a reasonable offer on the table and trying to work together both sides? 312-332-3776. Joe in Bourbon A. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, Cap. This might not be the popular take, but we all have our different memes in which we live. Of course, athletes have this crazy rich life, but when you start to take so much from it, that really does deter their life. If you were to take a big pay cut yourself, Whole Foods, your nice gym membership, your nice house, you really have to adjust to that. Now, I know, cry me a river because I'm a rich millionaire, but, I mean, that really affects their life. Like, I kind of see what Max is saying there, because I would hate to have to go play with the same risks and everything and make far less. And another thing is, if the players were to make less on their salary, could the owners share their profits? Because they've never shared those at all, and they keep those for risk. And this is their risk right here.
Well, the owners,
and now they
the
want
owners
more
offered,
from the players.
Well, the owners offered them a revenue share, 50-50 of revenue, and they said, no, thank you.
Well, then hot damn.
So,
all right, then.
So
I'm wrong.
There you go.
You have a good day, bud.
And just for clarification, we all took pay cuts here, significant ones. It's just part of the deal, man. It's what everybody's going through. So appreciate your call.
I did not know that. Yeah. All right. Well, God bless you. You have a great day, dude.
You too. See you, dude. 312-332-3776. Jeff Passan is asked on SportsCenter last night, what sense of urgency is there to get a deal done?
There is a level of urgency that should exist, and there is a level of urgency that does exist. And the two should be one and the same. They have not been, though. Remember, Major League Baseball originally was going to go to the Players Association with an economic proposal more than 2 weeks ago. They scuttled that and eventually came around to this one, which landed with a thud with the players. If they want to get back to spring training in the middle of June, as Major League Baseball's plan outlines, and if they want to have opening day in the first week of July, on the 4th of July perhaps, they're going to have to get something done very quickly. And there is a dark temptation to believe that this thing could go sideways. This is the first proposal. When we get to the 3rd and 4th, maybe then, if there's still issues, there'll be problems.
So, I don't know how much more time they have. They're saying privately, I was told yesterday, that the players and the owners, both sides believe, got to get a deal done by June 10. So that's what? That's a week from next Wednesday. So there's still time. They just have a really bad look on their hands when neither side shows any empathy for what's going on in this country. None. Zero. So figure it out. You got a lot of smart people in there. You've hired a lot of great economists to work in the game on both sides. Get them in a room, muzzle every single person on both sides. Don't have owners on CNBC, Tom Ricketts. Don't have players on social media, Max Scherzer, Blake Snell, and just emerge and go, here's, we got a deal. Done. Because you're going to have another contentious negotiation after 2021, and if we don't have a vaccine by that point, that is going to be ridiculous because you'll be without a collective bargaining agreement. So that's my thoughts. I wish somebody had the temerity to step up and do what I said and have this national Zoom call with all the top baseball writers and columnists and gave that kind of speech. That would resonate with people. Hey, is it time to stop bashing Joe Maddon, Cubs fans? They were replaying Game 7 the other day, and they had Joe on there and Anthony Rizzo, and I'm trying to remember if there was a couple other players all doing their commentary as Game 7 was being shown on ESPN. I still hear all this Joe Maddon bashing. I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday. He's like, they wanted Spider Maddon. That might be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They won the freaking World Series. Is it time to stop bashing Joe Maddon, Cubs fans? That's next.
This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at the Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So they've been running all these classic games over the last several weeks. And obviously one of the great classic games of all time is Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. See different polls done from Fox, CBS, ESPN, wherever. And it's been ranked anywhere from 1 to 5 of the greatest World Series clinching games of all time. I was there. Danny was there. It was amazing that night. It's the coolest sports night of my life, and I don't see how anything could ever top it in the sports world. Because even if any of my favorite teams went on to win again, that was 108 years. And I don't know about Danny, because he's a diehard Cub fan as well. I literally thought I was going to die without seeing them win. Like, that was one of the few things on my bucket list. Is like, dear Lord, please don't let me die until I see my Cubs win. My brother's a Sox fan. He had gotten it, and I never thought it would happen. And then, Danny, did you feel the same way? Like, were you scared that you were going to die without it?
I was more hopeful that I would not die. I was in my 30s. I was hopeful, you know, in the next 50, 60 years they would get it done, especially when they hired Theo Epstein and Joe
Maddon. How about for your dad? Were you worried for your dad?
That I was.
Because he's a big Cubs fan.
Huge Cub fan. He's the reason I'm a Cub fan. Yeah, that crosses everybody's mind. But when they hired Joe and they hired Theo, I thought to myself, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen soon.
Right. And I literally was afraid that it was going to happen. I really was. I got into my 50s. I'm like, this is insane. And then when 03 went down the way it went, and then 08, you win 97 games, you get swept for the second straight year in the playoffs. I was like, all right, I guess this is my lot in life. It's a disease I was inflicted with at a young age. I'm a Cub fan, and I'm never going to see my team win. And then 2016 happens. And it was insane. At the end of 15, I remember saying on the air, they're winning it next year, because you just had that feel like it was the 84 Bears going into 85. And that's exactly what they did. Dominate, start to finish, 25-6, win the World Series. And I thought, boy, whoever's the manager, in fact, Joe Maddon said to me before it all happened, whoever wins the World Series here with this team after 100 and whatever years, they'll never pay for another drink, another meal, and there'll be a statue outside for eternity. Yet, if you listen to a lot of Cub fans, they think, they won in spite of Joe. He did a horrible job. How about just accepting that you won a World Series and just stopping with the nonsense?
There was a caller yesterday. I was listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is what pissed me off about this. I know it came up because they were showing Game 7 and they were talking about it, and Carmen and Yurko were doing a great job. But a guy called in Carmen and Yurko's show yesterday and said, any Cub fan that loves Joe Maddon is a moron and that he should have been fired after Game 6 of the World Series. And that really pissed me off. The dude won a World Series here. And listen, we all know he made some tremendous mistakes managing in that series. He did. You can't argue it.
Agreed.
He did.
Agree.
But also, they got to the World Series because of Joe Maddon. The culture in that room was such because of Joe Maddon. That team was so bonded, so close because of Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon, for all his faults and for all the negatives and the way he could have cost the Cubs the World Series, which he didn't, he was one of the key factors in them winning a World Series. And Cub fans need to put the Joe Maddon bashing behind them. It's got to be something that disappears forever in this town.
Well said.
We worship Mike Ditka like he's God's gift to football. The dude won one Super Bowl in 1985, never won any more. Joe Maddon must be put on that pedestal with Mike Ditka. We all know Coach Q won 3. We all know Phil Jackson won 6. Nobody's arguing that Ditka or Maddon are better than Phil or Coach Q. Those guys earned more. But Joe Maddon certainly deserves enough respect to not mean turn on my favorite radio station, ESPN 1000, and hear Cub fans bashing him. That needs to be one of the sports topics that gets retired forever.
Agreed.
The bashing of Joe Maddon.
Completely agree. And that doesn't mean that I didn't think it was time for a change, because Joe is who Joe is, and Theo and Jed are who they are, and they had a different vision of where it was going. This was Nick Castellanos. He talked to Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney of The Athletic. This is Nick Castellanos on Joe Maddon. Maddon's hands-off approach works better when he has veteran players who will police the clubhouse. The Cubs spent enough time looking for that next clubhouse leader. Money also spent on players who were supposed to fill that role but didn't impact the team on the field, thus neutering their ability to lead, particularly as new arrivals to a group that hadn't won before. Here's the quote. "That's where I said Joe is consistent," Castellanos said. Joe's like, "No, this is who I am. This is who I've always been, and this is my philosophy." You had people at a crossroads. Joe knows who he is. Theo and Jed now know the direction they want to take the organization. A leopard doesn't change his spot, so especially if that leopard knows who he is. You feel me? So Joe and them, it was very mutual. They shook hands. Joe was excited for his next chapter. He went on to say, "I play for that guy forever. He's awesome. Loves him." And that's how 99% of the guys that have played for him say the same thing. That is a fact. So you go win a World Series, and now you don't like the manner that he delivered it in? That's amazing to me. For a fan base, which I'm part of, that knows nothing but being lovable losers, has won one time in 112 years now, and we think we know how to deliver a world championship, and they should have fired Joe Maddon after game 6. He did a horrible job. It's just stupid. It's just dumb. They won 103 games, excuse me, and won the World Series. He went 97, 103, an NLCS, and then handed you a World Series, and people were like, "Yeah, they could have done it without him." No, they couldn't have. They absolutely could not have. It was the perfect manager at the perfect time.
They'll be hard-pressed to find another manager in the Chicago Cubs organization that's going to equal that amount of success in that amount of time.
Agreed.
That's just a fact. So this is what, so I was listening to Carmen and Yurko on the drive home, and I'm trying to relax after, you know, 3 hours arguing with you. I try to unwind on the way home, but these callers were pissing me off when they're bashing Joe Maddon. And it got me to thinking. On Tuesday, we were talking about how MJ iced out Isaiah, and I said to you, I wish that story would go away forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then yesterday I was driving home, and I heard that people bashing Joe Maddon. I thought to myself, I wish the Joe Maddon bashing would be gone forever. And it got me thinking, what other things in sports that we talk about often do you wish would go away forever? Now, I'm not on this boat because I like to bash Mitch Trubisky, mm-hmm. but I would assume you wish the Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson got drafted before Mitch Trubisky storyline would go away forever. I'm ready for Isaiah Thomas to go away forever.
Agreed.
I'm ready for people to stop bashing Joe Maddon forever.
Yeah, the whole Mitch Trubisky thing, it's actually fun because we talk so much football. Like, would I love for the Bears to draft and develop the next, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick? Yeah. But while we're in the throes of this, I think it's fun to watch the competition, and if it's Nick Foles, we get behind him, and if it's Mitch, we get behind him, and it's what we do. The Isaiah thing has run its course. It absolutely has. The bashing of Joe Maddon for winning a World Series has run its course. Trying to think what would be other things that unwritten rules of baseball. I would like those to go away forever. Forever. I don't want to hear about, "What are you doing bunting? That guy had a no-hitter in the 8th inning. Why are you bunting?" Well, it's a 3-0 game, and I'm trying to get my team back in it. It's just dumb. I don't want to be the guy that's on the other team and goes, yeah, I could have gotten a hit if I had laid a bunt down. I knew they were playing back, but I wanted him to get his no-hitter. I don't want him bat-flipping. I just, all these stupid rules. It's to stop. I just don't like it. But what do you not like? What would you like to get rid of? 312-332-3776. Do you look at Joe Maddon and go, yeah, they could have won without him? Because I think you're nuts, but you're entitled to your opinion. What do you think? Let's go to the phones. You know, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls. 312-332-3776. It's ESPN.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. Is it time to stop bashing Joe Maddon for what he did in Game 7, for how he used Chapman in Game 6? I went back and watched the MLB World Series video that they did, narrated by Vince Vaughn. It's really an awesome watch. And in Game 6... Who was the analyst on the game?
Was it John Smoltz?
Yeah, there was another. I think it might have been the national radio call. Might have been Aaron Boone. Maybe he was doing it then. Anyway, whoever was doing one of the national broadcasts, I don't think it was Smoltzy, when Chapman was coming in with the big lead, they said, well, they're going to go to Chapman again. And he said, well, you kind of have to because there's no game 8. If you don't win tonight, it's over. So they brought Chapman in. The only big, big glaring mistake in that part of the game was that he let him come back out in the ninth and throw 4 more pitches. He walked a guy. He threw 20 pitches in all. And then the next night, instead of throwing a slider, he threw all fastballs. And boom, home run Rajay Davis. And everyone went crazy. And then they came back and won. 312-332-3776. This hour brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE. Let's go to phones. Joe's in Chesterton. Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yeah, it is definitely time to stop bashing Joe Maddon for that. You know, but that's Chicago to me because that it's so Chicago, because when the White Sox won in 05, in 2006, I still had friends of mine saying that, well, Ozzie didn't do this right, didn't do that right, blah, 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 blah. And then in 2018, when the Bears won the division, well, it's because they played a last-place schedule. It doesn't matter how successful a Chicago team is, fans will still pick and pick and pick at the negatives. And I don't understand it, but, you know, after talking to people, and because I was living in Indianapolis for 8 years, and the reputation that Chicago fans have is they're very passionate, but also very negative. So hope you guys are doing right, doing okay, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thanks.
You got it. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you, kid. Yeah, we do have a negative fan base. We've never had a quarterback in our lifetime, basically, but we all think we know how to pick a quarterback. All of us. We're all guilty of it. We hadn't won a World Series in this town in a combined, you take 108, and White Sox were what, like 80-some, 90? Somewhere around 205 combined years, each team won one. 200 years of baseball. They won one each. That's it. And then the two managers are gone within 5 years. See you later. Thanks for coming. And everybody's slinging arrows at both of them, but especially, you know, the whole Maddon thing, we could have won without him. I just don't understand that point of view. I don't understand how you can look at that team and feel like we could have won without him. Oh, well. 312-332-3776. Chris, did you see the Premier League announced this morning? They're back. They are going to be playing starting June the 17th. No fans. So could someone explain to me, maybe you can, Christopher, I don't understand how they have more cases per capita in England than we have here, and yet they're going to have their soccer back playing high-level soccer, and we can't figure out what the hell we're doing.
I think they want to play. So they have it set together. They did the testing this week. They tested over 1,000 players within the Premier League. On Monday and Tuesday, they had 4 positive tests. They've now put those people in quarantine. The teams are moving ahead with their training. They're getting their fitness levels up. They wanted to shoot for June 12th, but that's unlikely. They've announced it will be 5 days later, the 17th. All good. Premier League back in action. Love it.
I think it's awesome.
I do not know the inner political situation in the UK and whether or not they have available testing or whatnot, but it seems like if the league and the players want to accomplish something, they got it up and running, and they're ready to go.
They've got it moving.
We've seen that all over the globe, Cap. Yeah, in this country, we're still waiting.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. It makes no sense to me how different parts of the world can figure all this out, and I hear, like, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. LeBron James has made, like, almost all his money already this year because they played a full season, almost.
He's made quite a bit. But the thing that kind of irritates me when you go down that road is you're suggesting then players are good, even though they would make more money playing the playoffs.
No, what I'm saying is LeBron and his guys came out and said, we want to play, man.
Yeah.
We want on the court.
No, I know, but the reason I'm not saying you specifically, the reason someone brings that up is because then they want to suggest that the baseball players are right because they have yet to be paid for their services.
Mm-hmm.
The flaw in that logic, though, is that basketball players have been played for the basketball games that they have played.
Right.
So to play more games, they will then get paid for that. Basketball players, like LeBron's not going to play this pseudo tournament, this playoffs in Orlando without getting paid. Like, that's not going to take place.
He also wants to play. Let's not forget the Lakers are one of the best teams
in
the league. Like, I wonder if he'd be saying that if he was in the Bulls position. It's easy for us to be patting LeBron on the back for saying, I want to play. Yeah, you want to win another ring.
I don't disagree with you, but other guys were on that call that have said, I want to play.
Like Damian Lillard, who don't care to play.
Well, Lillard's comments were a bit misconstrued. Cap has the audio on his screen. He can play it if he wants. But Lillard explains he wants to play as long as it's for something.
It's meaningful. Yes.
It's just a lot of guys could very easily say, I already made 80% of my $35 million.
But that's a flawed way of looking at it, because then, like, the whole debate is getting paid for your services. So, yes, that's like saying, like, I've made X amount of dollars to work to this point, but if I'm working forward, you would still want to get paid for your services. They're not saying that, like that's, to me, it doesn't quite line up in my head. Like, yeah, the NBA players want to get paid, but they also want to play. It seems like baseball players are using every excuse in the book to not play the season.
Both sides are. The owners and the players.
Everyone.
Both.
Owners, players, Mr. Met, everyone's got a problem in baseball. Get it together.
Completely agree with you. Completely agree. By the way, Chris, I'm hearing that the folks over at 35th and Shields, that would be the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, they got a spot for me.
They actually are considering and working on the logistics of what you propose.
It's a great idea. Get on board, Sox. Let's go.
And for people who missed it, 2 weeks ago on this very show.
Last Wednesday.
Oh, was it last week? I thought it was 2 weeks ago.
Let the facts get in the way of Cap's story.
Yeah, whatever. 2 weeks.
He's never let it get in the way before.
So, yeah, that's true. Chris said.
Last Wednesday, yeah.
Set up big screens in all the parking lots that surround the stadium. Have these massive giant video boards. And do social distancing, selling parking spots, leaving, you know, 8-10 feet between each car. Allow people to tailgate, watch the game, have every part of the baseball experience in a safe, socially distanced way. And then we went on to say, and maybe even pipe crowd noise from the parking lots back into the stadium. Yeah.
That was more your part of the idea. I don't care.
I think they actually like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the least important part of this. The most important part would be generating revenue for the teams by selling spots in the parking lot while games are being played. So not only are you selling concessions, selling some merch, selling the tickets to get into the parking lot itself, you know, like that creates revenue for a team like the Chicago White Sox. I think that is a major bonus to this. If you want to pipe in crowd noise, I don't care. To be honest, I don't need the fake noise for any of these games. I've watched the European soccer in Germany. It's okay without it. It's all right.
But it would be cool for the broadcast, too.
No, not really. Just consume the product. I don't know. I think there's a column in the Chicago Tribune today suggesting don't do the fake crowd noise. I agree with that column. Come on. Just watch the sport. We don't need fake noise. We don't.
312.
Cap, so my idea is fantastic. I agree with you. The White Sox, let's get on board. Think about it. It's something that you can pitch that the Chicago Cubs can't. Come on out to our ballpark this summer.
Correct.
You can't be in the ballpark, but enjoy the game with us. Tailgate, enjoy with other fans, socially distanced.
Do here's cool the game giveaways.
On. Yes, you can send your team, right? Because they have all the in-game ops. You can send those people out to perform. You can do all
what
that
about
different
if you
stuff.
Did this, like you had like a jersey day or like a jersey day.
You go,
you'll go around to all these cars and you give them their shirts, and all of a sudden you get this video picture or this picture shot. There's 15,000 White Sox fans all wearing these cool black and white jerseys, and you go, that looks really cool.
Nice summer day. Gives people something to do. It also is a cool event you could say you were a part of. Like, times kind of suck right now, but this would be something that would be fun to be a part of. Come on. It's a good idea.
Parenting on your idea, and I know we got to take a quick break. A friend of mine lives near me, Mike, his wife Debbie. You know what they did on Sunday? They're huge Notre Dame fans. Huge. He said, we got nothing doing. The kids don't live at home anymore. They got in the car. They packed a lunch. They drove to Notre Dame Stadium. He said, we were set up in the parking lot. Nobody around. We had two beers and some food. We walked around the campus, went to the grotto, got in the car, drove home. He goes, it was awesome. They had a great time. Just finding something to occupy your time. I thought that was cool. They used their fandom to have a good day. 312-332-3776. What will change forever? We've got a list of different things. When you think about it, you're going to be like, whoa, that is going to change.